Don't be angry with me, darling, if I fail to understand.
Hello, everyone. This is Keith Bradford. I'd like to invite you to stay tuned for an in-depth interview with Grand Ole Opry star Stonewall Jackson. During this interview, Stonewall shares stories about his career highlights as well as several personal stories. I hope you enjoyed this visit with Stonewall Jackson as much as I did. Stonewall, there's a lot of stories about how you first came to the Grand Ole Opry in Nashville. I've even heard that you showed up in a logging truck. Is that true?
Well, the way that log truck got in there, I guess, I used to log in the winter and farm in the summer down in South Georgia, and that got into my story. And then it kind of got twisted around a little bit. I did show up in a pickup truck with a bale of hay on the truck. I never did figure out why I had that bale of hay. I guess I might find a hungry horse somewhere along the way. But I did show up in a pickup truck, and I checked in at the York Motel out south of Nashville, Tennessee here. And I just happened to look across the street, and I seen Acuff Publishing Company, and I said, man, that'd be good luck, because that's just what I've been wanting, you know, is a chance to put a few of my songs with a publishing company, and maybe I'll get one cut. And so I messed around there and got all my stuff put up and went across the street and cut three songs on tape. And I went back to my room, told the guy where I was staying, went back to my room. And then in just a few minutes, the phone rang. And I said, well, Lord, who could be calling me? I don't know a soul around here. And it was Wes Rose. And he told me, said, I'd like to sign a couple of those songs that you did on tape. He said, but the main reason I'm calling, I listened to what you did on the tape, and I believe I could get the Grand Ole Opry interested in you. And I said, what do you mean? And he said, I got a lot of friends down there. I said, I might could get you an audition and get you a guest spot on there, and that would help you to push your songs around town, you know. And I said, well, I appreciate any help you can give me. And so we hung up, and he called back a few minutes later and said, well, it's all set with Judge Hayes the next morning at 9 o'clock, which will be Thursday morning. And so I got up early the next morning, got my old Marvel guitar, and got in my truck and drove in. I drove about halfway into town, and the edge of town, because I wasn't all that crazy about driving in the traffic. And I walked on in and went down and found George Hayes. And he took me in the studio, and I sang three songs. I stood in the corner, you know, shaking, of course, and sang three songs. And he said, wait right here for a few minutes. And so I figured, well, this is it, you know. He'd probably come down here to throw me out now. And so he come back with the station manager, and they had me to sing the same three songs again. And then W.D. Kilpatrick was the manager. And then he said, follow me. And he went down the hall, and I just followed him down the hall. And he went in the went in his office and went in his desk and pulled out a contract and just popped it down. He hadn't even said anything yet. Just popped it down on the desk in front of me, and he said, sign your name right there. And I glanced over it, and it said 5-year contract with the Grand Ole Opry up next top. And so he told me, he said, you'll be on the Friday night show tomorrow night at 8 o'clock and come down here just a little bit early so you can run over your songs, because it'd be strange to the musician. And Don't Be Angry is the one I'd like for you to do, he said. And so I came back down the next night and went on the Frolics.
Do you remember who hosted that first Opry show you appeared on?
I hate to give credits wrong, but it's been such a long time. But I think it was Jimmy Dickens. There was a lot of people, you know, back then it moved real fast. We were doing the show. At that time, the Friday night show was done in just a little studio up on the hill. And so the thing moved real fast. You just run in and do your one song and then back off again. When I went on the stage, when they introduced me, I suppose because of my ragged khaki pants, I didn't have the best clothes in the world at the time. And I got about the ugliest guitar in the world that I come here with. It's an old Marvel, and it's got my name on the front of it in fingernail polish. And so they went to snickering, you know, the guys around, you know, other artists and other musicians. And when they introduced me, and the audience got into the same thing, you know. And I thought, oh my, I've really had it, you know. And so I really got scared then. My knees, I looked down, my britches leg was shaking. And so I started into Don't Be Angry, and I got through like the first verse, and everything got a real hush. And I got called back four times. And Olene Tubb, Ernest Tubb's wife, was listening on the air. She heard all that. And so she insisted with Ernest to, of course, Ernest has always been good to reach down and help any guy coming along. You know, he's great for that. And she insisted to him to kind of take me under his wing and help me along. And so he did. I worked out on the road with Ernest before I got a record out. He'd give me $25, and I wrote Why I'm Walking back along that time, and I put it in his publishing company. He gave me a little retainer-like thing, like another $25 a week. So I had like $50 a week coming in. So I had eating money, you know, and something to pay the rent with, if it was kind of thin, you know. But that's kind of the way it was, you know.
Was it unusual then for an artist to get on the Opry without a record deal?
Well, now I'm told that through an audition, now there have been other people, like some of the people that's won contests and different things like that, to get a shot on the Opry. I've got a spot, but to become a regular member, that's the one thing that gets confused. To become a regular member through audition, just come in and audition and be put on the Grand Ole Opry as a regular artist, I'm the only one that's happened to. And I say that humbly, and I appreciate the thing that happened to me. It's just that probably I showed up at the right time, at the right place, and